Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
Tony Robbins said, "You are now at a crossroads. This is your opportunity to make the most important decision you will ever make. Forget your past. Who are you now? Who have you decided you really are now? Don't think about who you've been. Who are you now? Who have you decided to become? Make this decision consciously and make it carefully. Make it powerfully, my friends." What's up, money makers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented host, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be along shortly, but for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Nice to hear all these cheerful, energized voices this time of morning.
We got that one right there.
It's going to be a great call. It's going to be an amazing call. I just feel it.
Woohoo! Fired up today!
Hey, I'm fired up too! Good morning, my friends! It is terrific Tuesday, June 9th, 2015. Do you guys get tired of hearing me say it's another great day to be alive? I'm curious, because it seems like we say that every day, but gosh, it seems like it's true every day, and I love reminding myself that it is another great day to be alive. It's another great day to be thinking, dreaming, hoping, planning, looking forward into the future, learning, getting on a call like this, getting new ideas in our minds so that we can move forward. You know, we just finished up, my friends, we just finished up the chapter on accurate thinking, and you know, if you think about what we just went through, one of the interesting points was that Napoleon Hill said that accurate thought, our thoughts of our own, they're ideas that we gather up, and then he said we use these ideas that we gather up, and then we take the next step of the journey, which is creative thought, where we sort of assemble these ideas that we gather up, we tap into infinite intelligence, we tap into imagination, and we're able to go the next step, you know, up the stairwell of success through that power of creative thought. And if you think about that, it sort of reminds us how important it is to continually gather up good ideas. You know, Jim Rohn said, you don't have to do all you find out, but you better find out all you can do. And I wonder if that has something to do with this chapter we just finished up, you know, on accurate thinking and how, you know, we got to gather information, we got to read the books, we got to listen to the audios, we got to go to the seminars, we got to get around the people who have done well and who have not so done well, who have done well and not done well in life, not so done well, I don't think that makes sense, but in any case, we got to get around people so that we can pick up the lessons. I remember Jim Rohn said, "It's a shame that failures don't give seminars." He said, "I wish I could go to a seminar put on by someone who has failed in life to get what they want, because you could learn so much, you know, taking your notebook and saying something like, spend a day with me. Could you tell me how did you mess things up?" And he said you could learn a lot from that. But isn't it true we gather up these ideas and we have to be continually gathering them so that there will be a great storehouse to draw from as we're creating that which we're creating in our lives, as we're creating new plans, as we're creating new ways to get, you know, the object of our desire and bring our vision into reality. So I love being able to come on this call with you guys and gals, because you're the choir. I'm preaching to the choir. We all believe that, right? We're all here on this call because we understand how important it is to gather up ideas. We also understand how important it is to stay engaged in the fundamentals. The fundamentals. You know, you talk to any great basketball coach. Like maybe Coach Ray can give his two cents later on in the call. But a lot of great sports coaches will tell you that the fundamentals are, you know, the fundamentals win games. The fundamentals, they never change. The principles, the laws, the foundations upon which great things are based. And I happen to believe that. And on this call, we talk about the fundamentals. We talk about the laws. We study them, you know, definite purpose, confidence, savings, initiative, leadership, desire, enthusiasm, self-control, all of these laws that Dr. Napoleon Hill invested his life studying and organizing and illustrating so that we can have mental illustrations, so that we can have these laws and these ideas and these principles painted on the canvas of our imaginations as we go through this material, so that we can see them clearly, so that they're palpable, so that we can almost touch them, feel them, taste them, so that we can know that they're real. And as we do know that they're real, and as we can see them on the canvas of our minds, we can have faith to go forth and apply them in our lives. A lot of things happening on this call as we continue to come together, and it's just something exciting to be a part of. And I'm especially excited about the information we're going to cover today. So guys, if you're excited about that, if you're excited about learning, growing, getting better today, if you're excited that today is a terrific Tuesday, if you're excited that today is another great day to be alive, if you're excited that today is another great day to be a freedompreneur, moving forward, generating more freedom for yourself, your family, and the people around you, I want to hear you screaming to the lines. I don't mute the phones right now. Well, you guys are awesome. Thank you for that. Let's do our definite purpose self-confidence formula. Who has that ready for us this morning? Star 6, and jump on out here if you have that.
Hey, Patty.
I didn't hear anyone jump out, so I'll go ahead and take it. Here we go. By the first day of 2000, and I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe that I will have this my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render in return for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when it is received. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of autosuggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop endeavoring until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. And fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude toward others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become an even more self-reliant and successful person. Then we have a Hill's Prayer. O Divine Providence, I ask not for more riches, but for more wisdom with which to make wiser use of the riches you gave me at birth, namely the power to control and direct my own mind to whatever ends I might desire. Amen. You know, as we were going through the self-confidence formula, I never cease to learn things. No matter how many times we go through this, no matter how many times we repeat it, no matter how many times we allow our mind to soak up these great ideas, it seems like I pick things up every time I go through. One thing that stood out to me as we were going through it this time is it does seem that our definite purpose is like a seed, doesn't it? Our definite purpose, the object of our desires, the thing that we're working on manifesting in our lives, the thing that we want to have. For a lot of people, it's money. Sometimes when I go through this on the call, I'll blank out the spot when I say money, because for some people, maybe that's not your object. Maybe you're going for other stuff, which is fine. Which is fine. For me, you know, it's still money, because at least part of it anyway, because I recognize there are a lot of great things I can do in the world as I generate more wealth. But whatever it is, it's a seed, isn't it? And as we go through this, we're planting that seed. Now, an interesting thing about a seed, and this reminds me of a discussion we had a few days ago, an interesting thing about a seed is you can plant a seed in the earth. You can nourish it with sunlight, make sure it's getting the proper sunlight. You can put fertilizer. You can make sure it's in good soil. You can put water on that seed, just the right amount of water. But you cannot make the seed grow faster than it's going to grow. You cannot make the seed sprout faster than nature has designed it to sprout simply by forcing it or willing it or yelling at it or screaming at it or pushing it. You know, all these things that sometimes we try to do to ourselves to make the seed of our object, the object of our definite major purpose, grow. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I wonder if that parallel is an accurate parallel, to think about our definite purpose as a seed and to realize that, yeah, there are a lot of things we can do to plant the seed. There are a lot of things we can do to nourish the seed. There are a lot of things we can do to provide an environment where the seed will continue to grow. Even with all that stuff, though, we can't force it to grow faster than it was designed to grow. Isn't that interesting? And so there still seems to be these qualities that we have to have called faith, where we trust that the seed has been planted, and we trust that nature is doing her work. We trust that that seed is growing. We trust that that object of our definite purpose is on its way. And we have patience, knowing that all seeds have a gestation period, and we can never force the gestation period to be shorter than it's designed to be. Interesting thoughts, right? And those just popped up as we were going through this definite purpose self-confidence formula. So then we had a great discussion on this the other day about just planting the seed. Set it and forget it, someone said. You know, let go and let God is another phrase that I think Bob Proctor talks about in his book, You Were Born Rich. Let go and let God, where we plant the seed. We do everything in our power to make sure that seed is in the right spot, that it's growing the way that it's meant to be. And then the rest of the journey, we kind of have to let go a little bit and just believe that it's happening. That's a great insight, I think, on this definite purpose self-confidence formula. So hopefully that's helpful. With that, guys, let's go ahead and jump into our study. Let me not forget this. We do this actually for everyone else, so let's do it for me too. Guys, do you believe that I have the ability to achieve my definite purpose in life? Do you believe in me as a person, as a human being, as a divine creation? Do you believe that I can continue to do great things in my life? And as you believe in me, do you believe in yourself? Do you believe that you can plant that seed and bring great things in your life? If you do, let's express that belief real quick into the line as I unmute the phone before we start our study today.
Hey, you know, I was
oh man, I'm so glad I did that. I heard so many people. I heard someone say, "We believe in you, Paul Etching." Man, you know, that feels good, doesn't it? Doesn't that feel good? Wow, I want you to have that experience. So tomorrow or on one of the subsequent days, have that definite purpose self-confidence formula ready and jump out there and lead us through that. And you can have that great experience of an army of people shouting their belief into you. I promise you, you'll love it. Okay, guys, we are in we're in Law of Success, 1928 version. We're on page 856 of 1170 in the ebook copy. You can grab this on our website if you're new to the call. Our website is growrichaudios.com, and there's an after the lesson visit with the author. And this is just after the chapter on accurate thought. Napoleon Hill writes, An after-the-lesson visit with the author, the great success lessons that can be learned from reverses. An all-wise providence has arranged the affairs of mankind so that every person who comes into the age of reason must bear the cross of failure in one form or another. You see in the picture atop of this page the heaviest and most cruel of all the crosses, poverty. Hundreds of millions of people living on this earth today find it necessary to struggle under the burden of this cross in order to enjoy the three bare necessities of life: a place to sleep, something to eat, and clothes to wear. Carrying the cross of poverty is no joke. But it seems significant that the greatest and most successful men and women who ever lived found it necessary to carry this cross before they arrived. Failure is generally accepted as a curse, but few people ever understand that failure is a curse only when it is accepted as such. But few ever learn the truth that failure is seldom permanent. Go back over your own experiences for a few years, and you will see that your failures generally turned out to be blessings in disguise. Failures teach men lessons which they would never learn without it. Moreover, it teaches in a language that is universal. Among the great lessons taught by failure is that of humility. No man may become great without feeling himself humble and insignificant when compared to the world about him and the stars above him and the harmony with which nature does her work. For every rich man's son who becomes a useful, constructive worker in behalf of humanity, there are 99 others rendering useful service who come up through poverty and misery. This seems more than a coincidence. Careful analysis of 100 men and women whom the world has accepted as being great shows that they were compelled to undergo hardship and temporary defeat and failure such as you probably have never known and never will know. Woodrow Wilson went to his grave altogether too soon, the victim of cruel slander and disappointment, believing no doubt that he was a failure. Time, the great miracle worker that rights all wrongs and turns failure into success, will place the name of Woodrow Wilson at the top of the page of the really great. Few now living have the vision to see that out of Wilson's failure will come eventually such a powerful demand for universal peace that war will be an impossibility. Lincoln died without knowing that his failure gave sound foundation to the greatest nation on this earth. Columbus died a prisoner in chains without ever knowing that his failure meant the discovery of the great nation which Lincoln and Wilson helped to preserve with their failures. Do not use the word failure carelessly. Remember, carrying a burdensome cross temporarily is not failure. If you have the real seed of success within you, a little adversity and temporary defeat will only serve to nurture that seed and cause it to burst forth into maturity. When divine intelligence wants a great man or woman to render some needed service in the world, the fortunate one is tested out through some form of failure. If you are undergoing what you believe to be failure, have patience. You may be passing through your testing time. No capable executive would select as his lieutenants those whom he had not tested for reliability, loyalty, perseverance, and other essential qualities. Responsibility and all that goes with it in the way of remuneration always gravitates to the person who will not accept temporary defeat as permanent failure. The test of a man is the fight he makes, the grit that he daily shows, the way he stands on his feet and takes fate's numerous bumps and blows. A coward can smile when there's naught to fear, when nothing his progress bars, but it takes a man to stand up and cheer while some other fellow stars. It isn't the victory after all, but the fight that a brother makes. The man who, driven against the wall, still stands up erect and takes the blows of fate with his head held high, bleeding and bruised and pale, is the man who will win in the by and by, for he isn't afraid to fail. It's the bumps you get and the jolts you get and the shocks that your courage stands, the hours of sorrow and vain regret, the prize that escapes your hands, that test your mettle and prove your worth. It isn't the blows you deal, but the blows you take on the good old earth that show if your stuff is real. Failure often places one in a position where unusual effort must be forthcoming. Many a man has wrung victory from defeat, fighting with his back to the wall where he could not retreat. Caesar had long wished to conquer the British. He quietly sailed his soldier-laden ships to the British island, unloaded his troops and supplies, then gave the order to burn all the ships. Calling his soldiers about him, he said, "Now it is, win or perish. We have no choice." They won. Men usually win when they make up their minds to do so. Burn your bridges behind you and observe how well you work when you know that you have no retreat. A streetcar conductor got a leave of absence while he tried out a position in a great mercantile business. "If I do not succeed in holding my new position," he remarked to a friend, "I can always come back to the old job." At the end of the month, he was back, completely cured of all ambition to do anything except work on a streetcar. He had resigned. Instead of asking for a leave of absence, he might have made good in the new job. The 13 Club movement, which is now spreading over the entire country, was born as the result of a shocking disappointment experienced by its founder. That shock was sufficient to open the mind to a broader and more comprehensive view of the needs of the age, and this discovery led to the creation of one of the most outstanding influences of this generation. The 15 Laws of Success, upon which this course is based, grew out of 20 years of hardship and poverty and failure, such as rarely come to one person in an entire lifetime. Surely those of you who have followed this series of lessons from the beginning must have read between the lines and back of them a story of struggle which has meant self-discipline and self-discovery such as never would have been known without this hardship. Study the roadway of life in the picture at the beginnings of this essay and observe that everyone who travels that road carries a cross. Remember, as you take inventory of your own burdens, that nature's richest gifts go to those who meet failure without flinching or whining. Nature's ways are not easily understood. If they were, no one could be tested for great responsibility with failure. When nature wants to make a man and shake a man and wake a man, when nature wants to make a man to do the future's will, when she tries with all her skill and she yearns with all her soul to create him large and whole, with what cunning she prepares him, how she goads and never spares him, how she whets him and she frets him, and in poverty begets him. How she often disappoints, how she often anoints, with what wisdom she will hide him, never minding what betide him. Through his though his genius sob with slighting, and his pride may not forget, bids him struggle harder yet, makes him lonely, so that only God's high messages shall reach him, so that she may surely teach him what the hierarchy planned, though he may not understand, gives him passions to command, how remorselessly she spurs him, with terrific ardor stirs him, when she poignantly prefers him. Lo the crisis, lo the shout, that must call the leader out. When the people need salvation, doth he come to lead the nation? Then doth nature show her plan, when the world has found a man. There is no failure. That which looks to be failure is usually nothing but temporary defeat. Make sure that you do not accept it as permanent. And that's the close of the After the Lesson visit with the author. Tomorrow we'll get into Lesson 12 on concentration. I have a few thoughts, and I know you do as well, on this subject of failure slash temporary defeat. You know, as students of life, as students of business, as students of human nature, as students of success, one of the things we always want to be doing is looking for clues. You know, they say success leaves clues, and it seems to me, as I study the successful people around me, it seems to me that there are clues, there are commonalities, there are traits. You know, I had the opportunity to listen to my good friend, business partner, team member, a Thinking Rich practitioner, a guy who's been on this call for a lot of years. Years! Isn't that crazy? We've got people, top earners, people just, you know, getting started in home business. We have people been on this call for years. Well, Mike Hobbs is one of those guys. He's been on this call for years. Not only has he been on this call for years, but he's been referring people, his team, his prospects, to this call for literally years. I remember one time he sent out an email and he said that the title was, I Shower with Paul Hutchings. And then he talks about, like, you know, he'd play the call while he was in the shower. But anyway, Mike, I've known this guy for a long time, but I had a chance to listen to his story again last night. He was telling his story, and I was listening. And as I was listening to his story last night, and he was talking about things like how when he first got started in his network marketing business, he went out and sponsored 40 people. He bought people in. I think it cost him like $1,500 because he was going for this bonus to hit in his network marketing company. And he worked his tail off. He called his friends and family, told the story of like calling his dad because his sponsor came over and said, all right, we need to make this list. We need to call these people. And Mike's like, really? We need to call these people? And he's like, yep, here's the first one, your dad. Here's what you're going to say. You're going to call and say, Dad, can you help me out? And so Mike's like, well, I couldn't disappoint my sponsor because he was this big leader in the company and driven all this way. So he said, so I did it. So I picked up the phone. I said, Dad, can you help me out? And he kind of chuckled and he said his dad was like, yeah, I'll go ahead and help you out. So his dad signed up as a customer in his business, and he's calling all these people, and he talked about his uncle, and his uncle's like, nope, I will not help you out. I will not do that. And he talked about how, you know, there was rejection, and then there was some success, and he was going for this bonus, his first experience in network marketing. He sponsored 40 people in a month, I think it was. 40 people. He got his first check. Guess how much it was for sponsoring 40 people? $16. $16. His first experience in network marketing. He was mad, right? As would anyone be. Sponsoring 40 people, calling all your friends and family, buying people in, $1,500 investment to get a check for $16. But here's the point. He didn't quit. I think he took a break from the profession for a little bit. But you know what? He didn't allow that to keep him from his dreams. And then he told more stories last night about being in different types of businesses where You know, he put money in, started making daily income. You know, some of these businesses out there where they're like, you know, hey, you can make all this money by just depositing money and we'll pay a certain percentage every day. And it was going well for a while. It looked like he was making money, so he's getting a home equity line of credit, putting more money in this thing. You know, I think he put a ton of money in. He said he was making like $1,000 a day on paper, right? Because you look in these back offices sometimes, these particular types of businesses that are out there. And he said he was doing so well that his friends started asking about it. So his friends were like, how you doing this? And he'd quit his job, and his friends started investing money. And next thing you know, the company that he was in went out of business. All that money gone, his friend's money gone, home equity gone. And Mike didn't quit. Temporary defeat. And he told all these stories about his road to getting to where he's at. I mean, today we look at Mike, and he's earned over $700,000, not a guarantee of income, see average earnings disclaimer with whatever company you're working in his current opportunity. He's got a great big team of a lot of successful people on his team. He's got people in there making 10 grand a month and more. Again, not a guarantee of income. But you look at this guy, and you're like, wow, he's arrived. But you don't remember the story that he had to go through to get to where he's at. And for whatever reason, when I was listening to his story last night, hearing him share just a couple of these experiences, I said to myself, huh, that's fascinating. Because his story is like my story. And it's just what Dr. Napoleon Hill is telling us. It seems like if we're on the road to greatness, which all of us are, the fact that we're on this call, I believe, means that we're all on the road to greatness. It means we're all on the road to doing even better things, because you wouldn't pick up the phone and dial into a call like this unless there was something super special inside of you. If there wasn't that fire inside, burning inside your soul, whispering to you, saying to you, you are special, you are somebody, you're meant to be somebody in life, you're meant to impact people. If that wasn't happening, you wouldn't be here. So the fact that you're here means I can say this about you. You're on the road to greatness. And we just got done reading from Napoleon Hill telling us that if we are on the road to greatness, guess what? There is going to be a testing ground. There is going to be a proving ground. Nature, God, infinite intelligence, divine providence doesn't seem to allow anyone to arrive into a position of influence where nature's children are depending upon the words falling from his or her mouth. Doesn't allow a person to get into that position without testing that person through the road of temporary defeat. And just real quick, you know, I can't jump off this topic without sharing a little bit of my story. You know, I'm at a spot right now that I'm so grateful for. I am a free man. I am a free man. That was my coveted goal for years. You know, when I used to have this job working in a cubicle, someone told me you could be free, Paul. You wouldn't have to have a job. Oh, my gosh. If that could be true, could it really be true that I could be a free man, that I could have money dumping into my bank account on a daily, weekly, monthly basis that didn't require me to leave my family, that didn't require me to go to work in a cubicle? Could that really be possible? You know what? It is possible because now I'm living it. But you know what? The road, my friends, the road here was bumpy. The road here was not 100% smooth. The road here to freedom was not without tests and trials, was not without challenges, was not without the storms beating down, the rain in my face, and pouring snow and sleet and hail and thunder and lightning all around my path, and just like tempting me to quit, just like saying, you know, are you going to quit or do you really want freedom, Paul? You say you want freedom. How bad do you want? Are you really going to go through these tests and trials along the way so that you can win it? Just a few of them. My first year in network marketing, I made zero money. My first year in network marketing, I made zero money. Then the next 4 years, made hardly anything, a few hundred dollars here and there. I remember building this one team with this juice company. It was finally working. Finally, people were joining from my friends and family group. We built up a team of about 50 people, made a few hundred dollars, and then within a few weeks after everyone joining, everyone quit, right? Can you imagine building a team of 50 people and then everyone quit? But I stayed the course because I wanted freedom. Then I joined this other company. We were selling a liquid vitamin. We built up an income of $1,000 a month. We had like 300 or 400 people in this business. Things were going well. And then I was driving one time to an event. I was driving to the Salt Lake City Airport, get on a conference call. Company owner called a special conference call and said, "Hey, guys, got this special announcement." And in one announcement, he took away what we had worked so hard to get. He actually had promised us that if we had a certain rank, we were going to get a certain pay grade, and that we would have that pay grade for life. He said we would be grandfathered in. So I had people on my team selling cars and borrowing money from their moms. I had people on my team, you know, putting a bunch of product on their credit card because that's what our upline told us to do. Our upline was like, "Hey, guys, to be able to be grandfathered into this pay grade, you do whatever you have to do. If you got to buy 100 bottles of this liquid vitamin and stick it under your bathroom counter, that's what you do." And so that's what I did, and that's what some of my team members did. Now I know, probably not the best thing to do, but that's what I did to get this pay grade. And then I'm on this company conference call, and this guy says, "Hey, guys, surprise, we're not going to be able to maintain this pay grade, so we're taking it away, and have a good night." And then he hangs up the phone, and boom, my income, $1,000 income. May not sound like much, but when you're working for freedom, when you're living in a single wide trailer house, when you're busting your butt doing everything you could possibly think to do to try to win your freedom, and someone takes your $1,000 income and cuts it down to $300, that's a blow. That's a lightning shot on your path as you're, you know, plowing forth in the storm. And there's a temptation there to quit. It's a test, a temporary defeat. Are you going to quit or are you going to keep going, right? And when you decide, it seems to me anyway, when we decide in those pivotal moments where success, where failure, where quitting seems like the logical thing to do, and we decide to instead have faith and continue forth on the freedom journey, it seems like it's in those moments where we have a huge deposit made into the reservoir of our soul. And we move forward with something that money can't buy. We move forward with resolve that's strengthened. We move forward with maybe even the power of infinite intelligence at our backs in an even greater degree. And then we're moving forward with more power, and then there's another test. I mean, I could tell you lots of tests. I got to the point where I was in one company, finally, after it was like 6 years of network marketing, I finally got to the point where I was making $10,000 a month, had a lot of team members succeeding. My volume in this company was growing by leaps and bounds every single month. I mean, I'd never experienced anything like it. We started off with, you know, volume of 60 because it was my product volume and that's all there was. Then it went to 5,000, 10,000, 15, 20, 70, 100, 150, or actually it was like 130, I think, at the high point. So within my team, we were producing $130,000 a month in sales of this nutritional product, and it was growing every month. And then the company owner decides that he's going to go a different direction, and he gets everyone on a conference call and says, "Hey, surprise, we're going to launch a sister company. Oh, but it's going to be great because we're going to have the company that we're in right now, and we're going to have a sister company. And so it'll be like we're building two companies. We're going to have like two streams of incomes, and oh my gosh, it's going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread." Well, you know what happened? It killed the momentum. The volume started to drop like a rock. The income started to drop like a rock. Every month the volume's going down, 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 down. And I'm trying to save it. I mean, I'm on conference calls trying to save it and keep people moving forward. But no matter what I did, I couldn't save that. It was like a sinking ship. I remember being on a conference call one time with my team and literally bawling my eyes out because I had promised them that this was going to be the one. This was where we were going to build our freedom. This was going to be our retirement. And it wasn't because someone else had decided that they were going to do something different, right? Bad thing to happen. What do? Do you quit or do you keep going through the temporary defeats, believing that the promised land is waiting for you in the distance as you decide to stand tall, stand erect, allow the soul inside of you to lift your tired, weary, sometimes ragged body that's lying beaten and bruised by the things that happen in circumstance. But you know what? Your soul is in there, and your soul is triumphant, and your soul is filled with light, and your soul says, stand up, Paul. Stand up, Lisa. Stand up, Mahara. Stand up, John Blaze Chapman. Stand up and continue moving forward, because there are better things waiting for you in your future, and it just might mean, if you're going through trials, if you're going through setbacks, if sometimes it seems like the worst thing that could possibly happen in your business is happening, maybe that just means that you're destined for greatness. Maybe that just means that nature, God, infinite intelligence, has something special planned for you and is sculpting and shaping your mind, your heart, your soul, so that you can be in a position to teach and lead and inspire, not because you haven't gone through hard times, but rather because you have gone through hard times and you've persevered and you've reached down and found out what was really inside of you. So those are some of my thoughts on this stuff, my friends. Failure, temporary defeat, it's a necessary part of the journey. And if you're hoping to avoid hard times, if you're hoping to avoid temporary defeat, if you're hoping to avoid challenges, setbacks, sometimes it seems like soul-crushing things, right? If you're hoping to avoid all that, then you may as well decide not to be an entrepreneur and, you know, go do something else, because it just seems like that's part of the path. Now, I don't want to discourage everyone, because there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is meaning in all of this stuff, and there is great reward for going through these things. But, gosh, it does seem to be a part of the journey. So those are my thoughts. I'm excited to hear yours. Keep in mind, it's not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are part of our call. Brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. One moment, please. Star 6, who's first? Come on out.
Dennis from Virginia.
Hey, Simpson. Good morning. Who is that in Virginia?
Dennis.
Oh, hey, Dennis. Good morning.
Good morning to you, and good morning to everybody else. You know, what struck me about this particular, what you were saying in this particular morning call, when my sponsor was talking about selling Amway, starting out selling, I'm sorry, I mentioned a person.
That's okay.
Sorry. But, you know, it ended up, you know, talking about how he trained in martial arts and how he went from one marketing to another, how you went from one marketing to another, how it went from failure to failure to failure, mostly not on your own accord. It was people that had control of the businesses that you were actually trying to work and market. And I started to laugh because it mirrored my experiences throughout from 1970 on. I mean, I was also started out in that same company that my sponsor did, and I started laughing because I ended up leaving that after a year because I realized that I had to make sales so that I had to buy so that my sponsor at that point would be able to make money to buy his products, and then he would have to buy that product, so it was a zero balance all the time. So, but I was reminded about failure and the perseverance that we have to have in order to continue to nurture and water that seed. You know, I'm a religious man, and I believe in God, and I believe that once we plant the seed, we have to nurture. So as we nurture now, I am so happy to hear on this call. There are so many people that have traveled the same path that I have, and that I'm still traveling now at 58 years old. But when life got in the way, now I'm able to actually put all of my effort into nurturing the seed and getting this particular, not trying, but will get this particular plant to grow with strong roots. And I just thank you very much for reminding me of this, because I woke up this morning with the thought of, you know, if I can't make this one work, I'm gonna travel a different direction. I'll just resign myself to being just retired and be done with it. And because I'm losing my eyesight due to glaucoma, and I don't have a whole lot of time left to actually make my entrepreneur really work. So I have to do it in a very calculated and very, very purpose way. So, but I want to thank you for reminding me of doing that. God puts trials in our way in order to make sure that we are worthy of the blessing. So, yeah, we have to fight for it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Grow Rich family, for being there for me.
Thank you, Dennis, and thanks for your decision to keep moving forward. Great choice, my friend. Pat Simpson, come on out, sir.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Paul, how are you on this terrific Tuesday?
Hey, man, I'm awesome. How are you today, sir?
I'm always so blessed and highly favored. I think, since we're talking about temporary defeats and winning, I think I'd share my story. When I first found the Think and Grow Rich call, my business partner was just murdered. I didn't realize he was murdered until two police officers showed up at my mother's house. They were at my mother's house looking for me, which I haven't lived at in over 30 years. But my mom just, I happened to be in New York. I was living in Pennsylvania at the time. And my mom said, I need you to come here right now. And I never moved that quickly, not for anyone. She's like, I need you to come right now. Don't, wherever you are, don't pass go. Come right here. Get to the house. Two police officers sitting in my mother's living room telling me that my business partner, my best friend, was murdered. He was left butt naked in the garbage in Ohio. No way, no one should ever have to die like that. So the next day, got on my knees because I didn't know what I wanted to do yet. And I asked God, this cannot be my life. This cannot be what I'm supposed to be going through. Show me something different. So he showed me a network marketing program. And in that network marketing program, I wound up finding the Think and Grow Rich call. I didn't join the network marketing program right away, but I did join this call immediately. Then I wound up signing up with a sponsor in that network marketing program who led me here, who I never spoke to ever. He got my money, got made about $5,000 from me, and he never returned the phone call. So we kept pushing. You know, we started staying on the call. We realized that we wanted to meet Paul Hutchins. So in staying on the call, one day Greg Reed gets on the call. He was pushing his book, Stickability. And at the end of the call, he says, if you need anything from me, you know, or you ever want to talk to me, here's my cell phone number. So immediately, as soon as the Think and Grow Rich call ends, I call him. Say, hello, my name is Paz. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I just need you to pick up my phone call as quickly as you did this time, next time. He said, I sure will, and I hung up. Before he can tell me anything else, I hung up. You know, and I immediately started pushing for him to be my mentor. You know, I wanted to be part of this Napoleon Hill stuff. You know, I wanted to get closer to the people that were teaching it. So I took a trip to California, and I got to hang out with Mike Hobbs and Paul Hutchins at a program that Greg was doing. At that program, I stepped up, and I told Greg, I can promote his new book in New York City. I'm like, I've been doing promotions for years, and was pretty good at it. That was what my living was. But promoting concerts are different than promoting speakers, and I didn't know how different it truly was. So I failed. I failed miserably. And it came down to about a week before we were supposed to pull the plug, I was on my hands and knees telling Greg, don't pull it. You know, and he said, as much as I like you as a person, I can't take this risk. And he pulled the plug on me. And then, you know, I thought that would have been the end of our relationship. But no, he continued to push with me, and I continued to go on. And then later on, I became the guest of honor at his next conference. He introduced me to Napoleon Hill's godson. And Napoleon Hill's godson offered me a job with his corporation, you know, something that his father came to think that would help all of humanity, you know. And I took this job thinking I would be able to be more of service to the people around me. And it took me 6 months of failure before I could help one person. And it was funny because every day he would ask me, how come I didn't quit? I have no money and I have no money coming in, but you're still pushing this way. And I just state this for everyone. You know, there are going to be, sometimes you may meet the greatest people in the world and still fail. You may get the greatest opportunities in the world and still fail. That does not mean that failure is going to stay with you. Sometimes you just need those challenges in order to create character. Like Les Brown says, challenges create character. So each one of those challenges has allowed me to grow and to become the happiness engineer. And now I have some of the greatest people in the world who support me because I was willing to fail and willing to fail with a smile. So I say keep pushing. Know that wherever you are, that it is something in front of you. As long as you're following your passion, as long as you're following your heart, as long as you're doing everything out of love, someone will always lift you higher. So I just wanted to throw that out to you guys. I love each and every one of you, and I hope you can smile big.
I love it, Pat Simpson. You're amazing. Star 6, who's next going out?
Jesse in New York.
Hey, Jesse.
Hi. Wow, I just love this conversation we're having. It's so exciting. It's so encouraging. And it is something that we often do forget as we, you know, work and have our heads down and moving forward, that there is no time that we can depend on. Just like you mentioned, we can't push the seed to grow faster than it is supposed to. And there's a journey that we're all on, and we're needing to go through this journey and to learn and to grow in a certain way. And I feel that through everything that we do, it then becomes our time. And depending, too, I think, on how serious we are in improving ourselves, just like I believe it was Jim Rohn who said, work on yourself harder than you do work on your business. And it's so true, and it's so important. And it brought up something just very current, and I don't know why this kind of excited me. I think it's because I like seeing examples of people in everyday life, maybe someone in a celebrity mode that also is being affected by this wonderful momentum, this it's the momentum of personal development and in believing in yourselves and really looking inward. And I think that's what I'm looking for, that people beyond the people that we're here in our group, we sometimes forget it's just maybe this small group, and sometimes we don't have those conversations with our family and friends that understand where we are. And this Jurassic Park is coming out, the new movie, a Steven Spielberg movie. And Chris Pratt, who used to be in a small little comedy years ago from Parks and Recreation, and you may have seen this on TV, I don't know, but it was just so perfect for today. 5 years ago, he did this little comedy sketch that he predicted, and he did a little kind of a spoof on Spielberg telling him, I don't know, I'll get back to you about Jurassic Park 4. But he had wanted to be in this movie 5 years ago, something he always wanted to do, and now he's actually in it. And it's just so exciting to see not only ourselves but others having our big dreams and never quitting on them and moving forward. And that's it. Don't quit on yourself. There's so many often times I think we all have gone through. I know I have. I'm not going to do this anymore. It's just not worth it. Maybe it's too hard or whatever it is. Just like you were saying, I'm really preaching to the choir, but that I just could never do it because we don't give up on ourselves. Our dreams are too big to give up on. And I'm just so excited about this topic and seeing examples everywhere that it works. Just don't give up on yourself. That's my share today, Paul. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Powerful, Jesse. Sure appreciate you. I think Larry Coates was jumping out there. Was that Larry?
It was. Hello.
Good morning. Yeah.
Good morning. A couple comments. You know, there's been a fair amount of sharing of disappointments that have taken place along the way, and it seems to me that somebody needs to remind us all that, yes, there may be disappointments, but the really positive spin of this is I look at you, Paul, and I look at Mike Hobbs, and I was on the same call last night and listened to his story again, and you know, it's like we hear all the things that people have gone through, the companies that have jerked the rug out from under them. But, you know, then I look at you guys, and I see that you've built organizations to, you know, huge numbers in terms of both commissions and people. And you have been able to find a situation that really, really works. And you're an encouragement to all of us so that despite no matter what we've been through, there's a positive and very, very profitable side once we stay in touch with ourselves and we really learn from our mistakes and we move forward. We shouldn't be discouraged because there are great opportunities out there for us and we can take advantage of those. And also, Dennis, I think it was, that said he was going blind and his time is limited in this. And I just want to encourage you, because Dennis, because I remember that one of the first meetings that I went to, we brought one of my fellow network marketers up on stage. His name was Ollie, and he is totally blind, and yet one of his most effective ways of marketing is by doing videos. So you can imagine a person totally blind putting up videos, not being able to see them and edit them or whatever, and yet he's building a thriving business. So don't let a physical handicap mentally handicap you, and just go for it, because you will be surprised at what the things you're going to be able to do. That's it, Paul. Back to you.
You're awesome, Larry. Great thoughts. Thank you for that. Star 6 is next. We have about 4 minutes left. Would love to hear from you this morning.
Paul, Titan Touchers.
Hey, what's up, Chris? Good morning.
What's going on, Paul? Man, it's always a pleasure, Paul, man, tuning in to the Think and Grow Rich call. Man, I always love when I can tune into it live. And I heard the call from the top of the hour, and this is just so powerful. And, you know, you've got different kind of entrepreneurs on the call. And, of course, failure is a part of anything. But, you know, one of the things that I was told by a mentor of mine who's a prominent real estate guy. We've had a real estate company for many years. At the end of the day, the only business that I am in, I'm not in the real estate business. I'm not in corporate acquisitions. I mean, that's what I do. But at the end of the day, the only business that I'm in is Chris Thomas Incorporated. I'm not in, and you know, and that may sound confusing to some. And what I mean by that is this. My goal in life, and probably many people who are on this line, their goal in life has something to do with trying to create the necessary values in order for those values to propel you where it is that you want to go. And I think a lot of times we make the mistake of getting involved in situations with a company, regardless if you're in network marketing, regardless if you're in traditional business. And the hardest part in business a lot of times is trying to pair your values up with the owner of a company and their values. And a lot of times, because we're human beings, we make mistakes. And those values that we have, as it progresses and as we move forward, sometimes we find that those values don't align with the values of a specific owner of a company. But that doesn't mean that you have failed at all. The only time that I fail or you fail, whatever your name is when you X out your first name and you leave the incorporated at the end. Because at the end of the day, the name of your business is whatever your first name is, incorporated. And that's who you're in business for, no one else. And creating those values that you want, you know, for yourself, for your family, and for your team members. But I think that that is something that I try to – that's the reason I get on these calls every day, is because I'm trying to increase the values that I have. And as I increase my values, what happens is that I began attracting people that have similar values as I do. And I think that's all business. I don't care if it's traditional. I don't care if it's MLM. I just think that's business in general. So never give up on your first name incorporated. And as long as you do that and increase your values as time goes by, you'll be extremely successful. But just wanted to put that out back to you, Paul.
Powerful, powerful thoughts, Chris. Appreciate that, and appreciate the comments from everyone on the call. Chris, you reminded me. I was reviewing my notes the other morning from a multimillionaire mentor of mine, and he said in my notes that I had jotted down. He said, depend upon no one. You are the CEO of your own business. It kind of resonates with what you said. It doesn't mean we don't believe in other people. It doesn't mean we don't, you know, love and support the companies and the business partners we're with. We do all of that, and we realize that just like Chris said, we are developing our own value. We're developing our own ability to create a business, and you know, to the best end we can, control the things that happen in that business, and that comes from obviously continuing to do what we're doing, which is developing ourselves. So, hey, listen, love you guys. Awesome call. Let's get out there, make it an awesome day. Take action, plow forward. Trust that your seed is growing. And we will see you all back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now. Have a good one, guys.
Woo! Never give up, never give up, never give up.
Great job. Have a good one.
Hey there, my friend. This is Paul Hutchings, and I want to thank you sincerely for listening to this week's edition of the Think and Grow Rich Call podcast. For more information on our community, to learn how you can listen to these calls daily and get the full panorama of all of the content and daily motivation and inspiration that we engage in, and to learn how you can connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs like yourself, feel free to visit our website, our home on the web at www.growrichaudios.com. Again, that's growrichaudios.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, feel free to visit my website, pipelinemoney.com. Again, that's www.pipelinemoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and whatever you...
The ground is yours.
While I'm out cutting my lawn, this is still the best call ever. Best call ever. You can do it. We can do it. You can do it. We can do it.